Well, hello everyone, and
no,
welcome.
Hello to you.
Welcome, Randy.
I told you.
We're here.
I'm excited. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to see you two beautiful people.
And we're excited to be here too on this fourth Tuesday to bring you this episode of FYI, and we are plant-based OKC. And as you just heard from our good friend Randy Titone,
the plant-based evangelist,
I'm here in the flesh, folks.
And I am Andrea Conway, and I'm here also with my husband, Dr. Jimmy Conway.
Hello, everyone.
And we are so happy to be here today. As you can see, Randy's pretty pumped up today.
That's exactly
right. Hopefully he'll interject some things here for us and keep us going and entertained today. So if you haven't listened to us before, we are Plant-Based OKC, as I said. We have a website where you can learn more about us, but our mission and goal is to promote and advocate healthy eating lifestyle, and that is a whole food plant-based lifestyle. And to do that, we hold monthly seminars at Community Hospital, which is at Southwest 89th and May, and those are held once a month on a Saturday at noon, and they're free of charge, and I serve a plant-based lunch to everyone. You can go to our website for the dates of those seminars. And I say we hold them monthly, but we're actually out of town and have a bunch of stuff going on in August. So we'll be skipping August. So our next one is September 21st.
Well, that's the first I heard of that.
Yeah. Well, I've got you booked out. So
not September 21st. 22nd?
22nd. Is that a Saturday?
Okay,
yeah.
Yes.
September 22nd.
Okay.
So you can get that date on our website, and you can email for a reservation. You do need to have a reservation for that event, even though it is free, because we have limited room space. And since I'm cooking, I kind of like to have a head count.
We're cooking.
No,
yeah, Randy cooks
no,
a lot.
I'm the only one in my kitchen cooking.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So the other thing we do is we hold a support group of sorts. That's what we call it, a health forum. It's not a formal presentation like we do at the hospital, but it is more of a Q&A and a support group for others that have started their journey on this lifestyle. If they have questions, we're there to answer them. They're there to meet other people that have reversed their chronic diseases, such as lupus and Hashimoto's and rheumatoid arthritis and diabetes and heart disease. We have them all there, and they're talking to other people, and it's a great resource and fun event. And that is the first Monday of every month, and that is at Rococo Restaurant in North Park Mall. So our next one, I believe, Randy, is August 6th.
August 6th.
So that is at 6 o'clock p.m. on August 6th. Rococo Restaurant does require a reservation for the event, even though it is free to get in. If you eat dinner, obviously you pay Rococo for that meal, but they do provide us a plant-based menu for that evening. We do start at 6 o'clock, so we'd love to have you. And we'll have anywhere from 40 to 80 people at those meetings, so we can fill up. So if you're interested, call Rococo and get a reservation for that.
The autograph line is usually pretty long.
Yes,
yeah.
especially
for Randy.
Yeah. People do love you, Randy.
Oh, yeah.
So that's who we are. And so check us out on our website. You can see some information about us, some videos, some different places where we might be. VegFest OKC is coming up September 8th, and my husband will be speaking at that event, and we'll have a booth along with Nourished Food Company there. And so that'll be a really fun event to get more information about eating a plant-based lifestyle. And then we're also on Facebook and Instagram. And I use those tools of social media to post a lot about food I'm cooking and give lots of tips on cooking and batch cooking and prepping and recipes. And so I would encourage, if you're interested in eating this way, to follow us on Plant-Based OKC on Facebook and Instagram as well. So I have some topics I want to talk about today. And a lot of times these topics come up from questions that I get asked on a regular basis. After having a seminar, a lot of people reach out to us via email to ask questions, or just various things that have been in the news or on social media that get a lot of hype, and something that just keeps coming up and coming up and coming up is Dr. Gundry, Stephen Gundry, and his book, The Plant Paradox.
I'm glad we're bringing this up because I'm not feeling very well.
You've eaten too many beans.
I've had too many beans and too many lectins, and it's affecting me in a really negative way.
Apparently, if you buy Dr. Gundry's Lectin Shield, you will feel so much better.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I needed.
Yeah. So I want to take this a little... I know we're being a little sarcastic here about this, because it is ultimately, it's so crazy, and it's so crazy to us that this even gets the amount of hype and information spread out there about it. It's pretty insane.
Well, it just shows, again, people want reinforcement to have an okay to eat their...
Standard American diet.
They want reinforcements for their bad habits.
I think everybody knows, though, you know, junk food is not good for you. You know, processed, fast food, junk food isn't good. But bottom line is, you know, people don't want to eat kale and broccoli. And I get that. You know, I mean, that doesn't sound appealing to most people.
It sounds appealing to us
because it's what we've eaten for 9 years of our life now.
Here we go.
But people eating the standard American diet, when you say you're not going to eat, you know, bacon, but you're going to eat kale or you're going to eat beans, it just doesn't sound appealing. And I do get that. I understand where they're coming from. And so when they read something like this that says, well, this is all the reasons why you shouldn't eat that, then, you know, they're like, well, here, I shouldn't change my diet. I mean, look what this guy is saying.
Killing these people.
And so I think it's...
why I said he's guilty of malpractice on a grand scale.
Yes, my husband posted an article that came up about that on his Facebook, personal Facebook page a while back, and said just that. And... you know, it's just so hard for the general public to decipher. I mean, even after they've been to our events and hear all what we talk about and the science behind why eating a plant-based diet can prevent and reverse most chronic diseases, we still then get the question, oh, this guy says I shouldn't eat beans. What am I supposed to eat? I don't understand. What do I do? And so I kind of want to break down what his whole agenda, I guess, is and what he's trying to say. And some of this I got. So one of the websites we do promote that people look at and follow is nutritionfacts.org. Nutritionfacts, FACTS.org. And that's by Dr. Michael Greger. And Dr. Greger isn't paid by any industry or anyone. He just takes personal donations, and he scours all of the peer-reviewed science that's out there and presents the information in an unbiased form to inform the public. And he was asked, and we really put a lot of trust and faith in Dr. Greger. He's great, and we know him personally. But his information is great, and I send people to his website all the time. But I guess this book had gotten so much publicity and following that he'd been asked to kind of look at the book and review it. And so I printed out this. I want to discuss his thoughts on it as well. I want to start with what is the basis of his book, and it is about lectins, which are... Now I'm going to turn it over to my husband, because I've talked all... the extent of my knowledge has now passed. So what exactly is a lectin?
A lectin is a protein that is found in nature in great abundance in all kinds of areas. One of the food items that has the highest... amount of lectin would be a bean. So,
but
you know,
all plant foods, but starting probably at the top with the bean.
And beans probably have the highest concentration of lectins, and it is a protein that does various functions It primarily functions in the plant as a protective compound while the plant is growing. But being a protein, then when we cook the bean, it changes the lectin. And there are some lectins that potentially could be harmful. Probably the best known lectin is a compound made from castor beans called ricin.
Okay, we've all heard of ricin.
Yes, it is a poison. And it technically is a lectin, which is a plant protein. But I don't know too many people that eat raw castor beans. I don't know too many people that eat raw beans.
Raw beans, period.
And so when you cook a bean, it totally changes the structure of the protein. And that happens with any protein that's cooked, whether it's microwaved, whether it's steamed, whether it's broiled, whether it's flame broiled, whatever, it changes the physical structure of the protein.
So why then would he say that lectins are, I mean, I understand why castor bean then, lectin,
right,
is bad, but why would just a navy bean lectin be bad?
Because it binds, it can bind different nutrients, and so some people have referred to it as a form of an anti-nutrient.
Meaning it binds it and keeps it from being absorbed in your body?
Correct.
But once the bean is cooked,
the structure of the protein changes, and it does not, it's not harmful for humans to consume. Now, kidney bean probably has the highest concentration of lectins. And if you were to eat a cupful of raw kidney beans, your body would react to it. You'd probably develop a stomach ache.
Some broken teeth.
Yeah, how could you even eat a raw bean?
I mean, you can. It's not hard. I'm not talking about the dried bean.
I see. I'm thinking dried beans. How could you consume a dried bean? You mean like a kidney bean that's grown
from a plant, in a pod,
in nature.
It's kind of like our beans that we have growing in our backyard.
Ah, so those are dangerous.
What, if I go out, raw?
If I go out and grow. Okay, first of all, that has totally changed my perception of eating raw beans. I'm envisioning people eating dried beans. I'm thinking, how is that even possible?
Before the bean is dried, it's soft.
Yes, okay, I get it now. Okay, so
you and Randy thought I was talking about dried beans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that
I'm
would
sure
get
our worldwide
crunchy.
Listening audience thought that too.
Okay, so a raw, fresh bean out of a pod.
Correct.
Could be, that's what we're saying, could be dangerous.
Dangerous. It could be uncomfortable.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to die from it. Your body would have a reaction to it. You'd develop stomach cramps and eventually probably diarrhea from the effects of the lectins in the raw beans.
What about other raw vegetables?
That doesn't seem to be as much a problem. Are lectins in like broccoli?
Mm-hmm.
To some extent, yes. But, I mean, it's not a large portion of the broccoli, and most people do not even react to it.
What about raw nuts? Because that's another one I've heard.
There are some nuts that have lectins in them, but generally we don't react to those lectins. The only thing that I can think of off the cuff that people might react to would be a raw bean. But people don't go around eating raw beans.
No, we don't. No. And we eat a lot of raw nuts because that's kind
Correct.
Of the form that we recommend you eat, lots of seeds and nuts. And those are typically in a raw form because dry roasted, they're usually cooked in oil. And that's
Correct.
Just makes them even more fatty and unhealthy. So we want to get the raw form. So I'm good to know that we can eat raw. The fact that we've been eating raw nuts for quite some time now.
And so, you know, the basic premise behind Gundry is if his basic premise was correct, and that is that all these anti-health effects occur from eating beans, then the areas of the world that eat the most beans would be the sickest.
Ding, 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 ding.
Well, and I think
and
it goes to...
That's directly the opposite of the truth.
Well, and that's one of the things that Dr. Greger goes into. He says if lectins are bad, then beans would be the worst. And so bean counters would presumably find that bean eaters cut their lives short, whereas the exact opposite may be true with beans, split peas, chickpeas, lentils, found to be perhaps the most important dietary predictor of survival in older people in countries around the world. And Dan Buettner points this out in the Blue Zones, that lectin-packed foods are the cornerstone of the diet of the healthiest, longest-lived populations on the planet.
And therein should be end of the argument.
I mean, that should be it, but it's not.
It's not because Gundry wants you to take a supplement.
Well, and that's again,
after you buy the book.
Part of, you know, again, follow the money here. He sells, he's written several books, and so he's selling the book, and when you go to his website, he has a multitude of supplements to buy that are used to, quote, counteract the effects of these beans, one being called a lectin shield. And it's only $80 for a month's supply.
Well, that's not bad.
So, as Dr. Greger says, for $1,000 a year,
that's exactly
you,
right.
You know, you can be good protected. And healthy and protected from this.
I wonder what else I could be protected from.
Well, just go to his website because he's got it all covered there.
Radiation
for you.
Pills.
And but what's interesting, and a lot of people say, well, this book is based in science. And, you know, so many times we have to counter that argument because they like to... You know, so many of these guys like to quote science, and he's got all
like,
kinds of notations in his book.
Kind
of
like the Bible. I mean,
really
science
is.
Can be like the Bible in that you can basically prove whatever you want.
That's exactly right.
I mean, you know, women guilty of adultery should be stoned to death, according to the Bible.
Yes. Thou shalt not kill, and then in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye. So,
What really irks me about Gundry is he uses the science. He lists these scientific papers that he draws his evidence from. Well, the very first one he's listed in his book, what the paper actually states is directly opposite of what Dr. Gundry says it states.
Yeah, so I'm going to read what Dr. Greger from the transcript of his video. People kept emailing me about this book, so I was like, fine, I'll check out the first citation. Chapter 1, Citation 1. Forget everything you thought you knew was true. He says diet books love saying that. For example, eating shellfish and egg yolks dramatically reduces total cholesterol. And he says, what? Egg yolks reduce cholesterol? What is this citation? And so he goes on to, he finds the paper where he quotes that from, and I'll let you explain how he's saying the rest of that is, you know, studies can be, we've talked about this before.
Absolutely.
Studies can be, I don't know what the right way to say this is, taken out of context.
Well,
they
studies can be designed
to
show the effect that you want.
And that's exactly what this study showed.
And so one of the studies that's always touted in terms of trying to show the healthy benefits of eggs was actually funded by the Egg Board. Now, I don't know if that's this study that Dr. Greger's talking about, but what they did is they took a group of subjects and they fed them an ultra-high-fat diet.
Yep.
And then after eating this ultra-high-fat diet for a few weeks, they added eggs, and guess what? Their cholesterol levels didn't go up.
Well, this one, they removed so much meat, cheese, and eggs that their overall saturated fat fell. So they were still consuming shellfish and eggs, but they cut their total intake down so far that their saturated fat fell. So he concluded from that eating eggs and shellfish lowered your cholesterol.
There's tons of studies out there just like that.
Which is
You're right.
Absolute opposite of what the study showed.
Because the way they word it, Dr. Greger pointed out in a study of the same fashion where it talks about eating Hostess Twinkies lowers your cholesterol.
Right.
Because they took people that never ate Twinkies that were eating Little Debbie cloud cakes, and they were eating like five of those a day. They took those away and then gave them Twinkies. Their cholesterol lowered because they were eating less cholesterol overall, but the study doesn't show that. It's the same thing. You take away all the meat and cheese and all that and then give them eggs and say, well, see, eggs lowered their cholesterol. It's just insanity, and it's...
Well,
and that's, but it's also creates a lot of confusion.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that's what they bank on. I mean, somebody like this banks on the confusion because he can scare people into not knowing what to do,
right.
One, and they're buying his book and they're buying his supplements.
Right.
And so I'm sure he's a very rich man from it.
Well, I don't know how rich he is, but he's very misleading. And that's why I say he's guilty of malpractice on a grand scale. I mean, so one of the people that works in my office specifically asked me about this because there's a celebrity that said that she followed his diet and lost weight. You can lose weight on any diet.
I tell people that all the time.
I mean,
it doesn't
Cheetos
matter.
And lose weight.
It doesn't matter
if
what
that's all you eat.
That's exactly right.
If that's all you eat, anything you do, if you're consuming, say, this full-blown standard American diet, you're eating fast food, you're drinking Cokes, chips, crackers, you know, just name it. You're doing all that, and you even stopped 20% of that.
Right.
You're going to lose weight, of course. I mean,
and
that's...
And your markers, your disease markers.
And anytime you lose weight, your disease markers start falling.
And those are just... It's not the actual disease. It's risk factors.
It's just the risk factors fall.
So, you know, cholesterol, yeah, it's a risk factor for heart disease. Total cholesterol, HDL cholesterol, and LDL cholesterol. What is causative in terms of heart disease is the LDL level and whether or not it's oxidized. And so, you know, you can cut whatever you want from your diet, and if you actually lose weight, your disease markers are going to fall, and it's going to look like that's healthy. And that's what happens with the paleo diet. And these people lose weight, and they, and this is just basically a rehashing of the paleo diet.
Sure.
In a different form. And no matter what, if you cut your calories, you're going to lose weight. And if you lose weight, your cholesterol level is going to fall. But that does not necessarily mean that's healthy or good for your body, because you can lose weight, you know, doing cocaine. But
smoking cigarettes.
Right.
You know. No, I mean, it's true,
that
though.
Doesn't mean it's healthy.
You know, and so many times, well, people equate losing weight and diets and all that stuff with being healthy. And I mean, yes, we want people to be at a healthy weight, because so many times there are so many chronic diseases that go with being overweight.
Correct.
But you also have to do that the right way if you're going to regain your health.
And that's the skinny fat. People.
And for it to be sustainable, because how many people do you know that go on the paleo or went on the Atkins or went on Weight Watchers or went on, I mean, you name the thousands of diets that are out there. You go on a diet, you lose the weight, and then you go off the diet.
And then you balloon.
And then you gain that weight, which is 10 times worse for you to go, you know, and I'm guilty of that. I mean, my whole life I was Weight Watcher in it and lose the weight, then go off the Weight Watcher, gain 40 pounds back, go on Weight Watchers again, lose it all. I mean, I knew the drill.
You actually gained 40 pounds?
Yes.
I'm glad we didn't know you back then.
Me too.
You didn't.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
But, I mean, I just think that's why we really try to, one, I don't like using the word plant-based diet, because this isn't a diet. We've been doing this for 9 years. And this is not a diet. This is a lifestyle. I don't go into my kitchen and think, how many carbs am I cooking today? Am I making 70% of my meal raw versus cooked? How much protein am I getting? How many calories even am I getting? How many fat grams?
I'm surprised I'm still alive.
I know.
That's exactly right.
You know, when people try to tell me all of that kind of stuff, like, I'm getting too many carbs. I'm not getting enough protein. I'm getting too many lectins. I'm thinking, well, how am I still standing here talking to you? Because I should be dead by now.
I know.
I mean, for 9 years, this is how I've eaten. I haven't paid one bit of attention to that. I've maintained my weight, as have you both, since we started this. Our disease markers are low.
Correct.
Well, lower than what's normal, which I'm going to get into in a little later on in this show. But yeah, like you said, it's the skinny fat idea. I mean, everybody says or thinks if you're thin, and that's why I don't promote doing this just to be thin. I mean, it's there's more to it than that, because you can be thin and not be healthy. We're going to take a short break here, and then I'm going to come back and got some other.
We're going to fill your heart with some more joy.
We are.
Yeah, lectin joy.
That's exactly right.
I hope they find it to be joyful. We'll be back in a minute.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day. But there is no sunshine, nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
I'll be honest with you,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain from heaven like a shower now.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over,
I smile. Even though I hurt, see, I smile. I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
what you do?
I smile.
Come on and
smile. It's so hard to look up when you've been down. Sure would hate to see you give up now.
God's people,
you look so much better.
Still don't mean today don't have purpose. Come on!
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine, nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, bud.
Today's a new day, but tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
The truth is,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain.
That Holy Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven like a shower now.
Now I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still,
I smile.
Come on.
Even though I hurt, see, I smile.
Y'all feel that?
I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
still,
I smile.
Hallelujah. Whatever you're in right now,
smile for me.
Smile.
Can you just smile for me?
And my people say,
oh, oh, oh. You look so much better when you're, oh, oh, oh. You look so much better when you're, oh, oh, oh. You look so much better when you're, oh, oh, oh.
I say,
you look so much better when you're, oh, oh, oh.
And while you're waiting,
you look so much better when you're,
yeah,
oh, oh, oh.
And while you're praying,
you look so much better when you're, oh, oh, oh.
Look in the mirror,
you look so much better when you're, oh, oh, oh.
Always remember,
you look so much better when you smile.
Come on.
I almost gave up, but
I almost gave up,
that I can't explain.
But the Holy Ghost power, y'all,
fell from heaven like
came down
the
from
shower
heaven
down.
Hardships, difficulties,
right now.
Storms, this is what I do.
I smile. Woo. Even though I hurt, see, I smile.
Boy, that feels good.
I know.
working.
Even though I've been it for a while,
still
I smile. Hallelujah.
I mean, that song right there was evident that Jesus is in the house.
He is. He's here with us today.
That's exactly right.
So, okay, Randy, you said, I hope we're bringing joy to you. And I do hope that what we're talking about does bring joy ultimately to someone's life, because I will tell you that's one of the reasons, I mean, that is the reason why we do this, because
absolutely.
So many people I know, I meet, come to our seminars, they're only in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and they're depressed. They hurt everywhere in their body. They may be dealing with cancer. They just maybe had open heart surgery. I mean, there's just a multitude of things these people are dealing with, and you can just see the look on their face, and they're exhausted and tired of hurting, and you don't have to be that way. I mean, I feel like I'm 50. One? I never can remember. I'm 51.
Wow, you're an old lady.
You're 62.
You look like you're 40.
You're 50-something.
Yeah, I mean, I look like I'm 40-something.
You do, but we do look younger. We feel, we're happy, we're excited, we're vibrant. We feel great.
Because we have that lectin shield.
That's exactly right.
But it's a natural lectin shield in our bodies, not something I buy from Dr. Gundry.
No.
We have our own built-in automatic immune system and that can fight off those lectins. But I do hope that, you know, that we are changing people's lives. And I feel like we do. I mean, just the, I know we've had this lady on a couple episodes ago, but she, you know, she's one of the reasons why we do this kind of thing. She always is texting me saying, I feel better than I've ever felt in my entire life. I can't thank you guys enough. I have my life back. And so that's,
you know, autoimmune disease can be
it was devastating to not only her and her health, but her family. I mean, she had young children. She couldn't get off the couch. She was on 20 medications. She was in extreme pain, fatigue. She's working full time, exercising, feels great, not
and
on any
she
medication.
She eats a lot of lectins.
And she does. She does. And look what that's done to her health.
Well, it's reversed her autoimmune disease.
And she doesn't have to take any supplements to do that. Just
no lectin shield?
Real, whole plant foods.
And that's the key is,
whole plant foods.
We were talking earlier about this Impossible Burger.
Yeah,
that's before we came on the air.
Yeah.
And, you know, Impossible Burger was developed to compete against hamburger. And in no way, shape, or form would I ever say that the Impossible Burger is health promoting.
No.
Now, it may be health promoting for the planet, but it's not health promoting because it's not a food designed to actually be healthy.
It's simply designed to replace
take the place of
animal agriculture,
protein.
Really.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Which, you know, 51% of all greenhouse gases occur due to animal agriculture. And regardless of what our president says, there is this thing that's happening called global warming, where our temperatures are going up. And some have rightfully said that we may be past the tipping point, and that's a whole separate subject. What we really want to focus on, instead of the greenhouse gas effect of how you eat, is the health effect of how you eat.
Yeah.
Now, a side benefit of what we promote, maybe it's healthy for the planet, but that's not why we do it. We do it because it's healthy for the person.
We don't do it for animal rights. And we don't necessarily do it for environmentalism reasons, which I think both have their place and are good things in and of themselves. But we have come to this lifestyle and promote this lifestyle simply from a health perspective. And both of the other reasons can maybe not be so healthy. And as, you know, if you come to this from
a vegan.
From an animal rights activism stance, you're called a vegan. I mean, that's someone that doesn't eat anything because it has an animal product in it. So if it doesn't, then it's a free for all. And we try to differentiate between that because we promote eating whole plant foods. So an Oreo is vegan because it does not contain any animal products. Fritos are vegan because they don't contain any animal products. Those are not health food. Those are not health promoting. Not because of lectins, because of they are just junk food full of sugar, fat, and salt. And so, you know, we're different from that. And I think the Impossible Burger falls into that same category on the environmental side, that it's been made and promoted to maybe save on greenhouse gases and the other environmental effects of raising
animals
in large quantities that we do here in America. But it's not
here in America, though, because a lot of beef is raised in South America, even beef here in the United States. It's having some devastating effects on the environment in South America. But, you know, I think it's easy to get sidetracked in that what we really are about is health promotion. And, you know, the meat industry is feeling the effects of not only just the activists from the vegan standpoint, but those of us who are really promoting health, mm-hmm. because, you know, when you compare whole plant-based food to any type of animal-based food, the health effects are tremendously different.
Right.
And so that's what we're primarily about. Now, I think the meat industry, through some organizations, promotes somebody like Gundry to make the public confused about what's healthy and what's not.
Well, we're going to get into another. So I got down this other rabbit hole the other day. So a friend of mine on Facebook who does follow a plant-based lifestyle posted an article about the Impossible Burger and saying she wasn't going to consume that anymore because of what this article stated. So it made just was interesting to me. Not that I've eaten the Impossible Burger one time just to taste it and see what it was like, but it's not something I'm going to consume because, again, like everything we said, it's not a health food. So I wanted to know, though, what this article was saying. And one of the things, well, one, it was written by Dr. Mercola. So I find him to be on the same lines as Dr. Gundry, a confusionist. He's written lots of books about fat being good and just...
Sells lots of supplements.
And he sells supplements as well. And I was reading his affiliations, and he came out with this article against the Impossible Burger for all these different reasons. But in looking at his affiliations, he's on the board of Weston Price,
which is a front for the meat lobby.
So I wondered, with everything he was saying, that something had to be behind his all the things he was saying against this burger. It was what was interesting to me, the reasons why he was saying it wasn't good were the opposite of the reasons why I say it's not good. He never once said anything about it being, you know, loaded with saturated fat.
Well, that he probably promotes the sale of
that was never
our favorite oil,
coconut oil, which is what So that was never the issue. The issue was that, you know, in his opinion or what.
And I want to make it very clear that I said that in jest. Coconut oil is not a health promoting oil. It's the most saturated fat that we take in.
Which is why we would not consume an Impossible Burger on a regular basis ever.
One of the reasons.
It is a highly processed junk food, just like the Oreos and Fritos.
It drips with coconut oil.
That we talked about. But he quoted all these reasons about how technically, if, you know, this meat grown in a lab through plant protein actually used more environmental resources than growing cattle, than raising cattle, which I can't necessarily dispute that because I don't know all the details, but I just instinctively in my mind think there's no way.
Right.
There's no way that can be true. But one of the things that caught my eye in this article was that they said the other reason not to, that they think that this meat could be a detriment to the public's health, was that it contained non-heme iron versus heme iron, which is heme iron is found in animals, non-heme iron is found in plants. And then went on to say that non-heme iron is not as absorbable in the body, and that's why vegans are usually anemic. Which, okay, now I'm really mad.
Because you've been anemic and you didn't know it?
Exactly, because right. That is such a falsehood. Vegans are not anemic. And so I want to, and because I have had a couple women over the time of, I've had some friends, and then I've had other people reach out to me that think they are anemic because of maybe some
fatigue.
Fatigue is usually the biggest thing. I'm fatigued, so therefore I'm anemic.
That's why a lot of people take vitamin B12 too.
And so we get asked a lot about, don't you take an iron supplement? Because, you know, since we're not eating meat, I don't think I'm getting enough iron. No, we don't take an iron supplement. We don't take any supplements other than B12 and D3. And so I want to talk a little bit about iron because of that. That just got me down this whole rabbit hole of iron, and talking about how actual animal iron, animal heme iron, is not good for us, and the reasons why that's not good for us, and how that iron works versus plant iron.
Well, heme iron, which is traditionally found in animals, so that's associated with the red blood cells, your body absorbs that heme iron whether you need it or not. So it's readily absorbed by humans, and particularly for men, that can be a big issue because that can lead to a condition called hemochromatosis. So if you're eating red meat on a regular basis, what happens with hemochromatosis is your body actually has way too much iron. And so occasionally when I see somebody for a pre-op evaluation, if they have a very high hematocrit, so that's a level of way to measure red blood cells in the body, over a certain level, we actually recommend that they go donate blood prior to having surgery, because wow, the hemochromatosis increases risks for heart attack and stroke.
Well, the blood bank would like that.
Yeah. it serves a useful purpose. And it's a reaction of somebody's body to consuming too much red meat.
So what happens if you have hemochromatosis?
Well, if it gets very high, your risk of stroke goes really high. So that in and of itself is a risk factor for stroke. Where it's not as much an issue is usually in women, especially women who haven't gone through menopause, because they're losing blood on a regular basis. But it's still, I mean, even a woman could have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so while the article that you...
Mercola did on the Impossible Burger.
Right. While it touts the fact that heme iron is absorbed whether you need it or not.
And well, they made it sound like it was a very good thing.
It's not a good thing.
So
plant-based iron is absorbed if your body needs it or not, not whether you eat it. So, and there's iron in a lot of different vegetables. And so if somebody eats a whole food plant-based diet and they don't eat exactly the same thing every day, they're going to get enough variety that their iron stores are not going to be too low, and that they're not going to be anemic from that cause.
Well, you know, and it's just been interesting because a couple women have reached out and said, well, my number is X, and so I'm anemic or whatever. But it makes me wonder, kind of like with cholesterol, in this country, our lab norms, you know, like they say, your cholesterol needs to be below 200. Well, that's not true. It needs to be a lot lower than that. I mean, they act like right. if it's below 200, you're going to be free of your risk of heart disease and stroke. Well, it's been shown that it needs to be below 150, and they have even said, well, we can't really go that low because that would be it's too hard to achieve and people would feel bad about themselves.
So let's just get it under 200. And
where you're, it's normal to drop dead of a heart attack here.
Well,
too.
And that makes me wonder, how are all the labs set when you see all these norms for sugar, blood sugar, and all this stuff? I mean, is that just to keep some of the symptoms at bay, or is that what a true
lab
reading should be?
It depends on what you're talking about. And so it's hard to have a blanket answer for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are the appropriate hemoglobin hematocrit levels? And below a certain amount, you're considered anemic. So those lab values are derived, and I mean, it's statistically derived. So what they do is they average the average level, and then they go plus or minus two standard deviations, and those are the kind of, in general, those are the normal lab values.
But I would think in America, finding a normal lab value,
especially for
from the general population,
or hemoglobin,
is going to be
right.
You know, so my question to them when they ask me or say that, you know, they're anemic, or I'm like, but I guess I want to know what's going on.
Correct.
You know, what I don't want to just go by a lab level.
Even like after surgery, we don't just go by lab values. So if somebody after surgery, if their hemoglobin or hematocrit reaches a certain level, it used to trigger an automatic transfusion.
Oh, wow.
So, and that number used to be 9 on the hemoglobin. Mm-hmm. So if it was below 9, automatically they got blood. So what we basically started doing is, okay, you start looking at that when it's below 9, but then is the patient symptomatic?
Right.
So if they stand up, do they get real dizzy?
Mm-hmm.
Is their blood not carrying enough oxygen? That kind of stuff. So there's not really this knee-jerk reaction to where, oh, the blood level's fallen below a certain amount and now we have to do a transfusion. Because what we found was doing the transfusion causes a whole
set of problems.
Yeah.
Sure. Problems.
Sure.
Well, it's kind of like, it just goes along with this thing that people, when we tell them we eat a whole food plant-based diet, where do you get your protein? And I'm thinking, but, you know, they'll say, well, I'm not getting enough. And my thought is, how do you even know that? Right. What's going on in your body that tells you
usually
that you're not getting
enough? Craving.
Yeah, it's your craving that.
To me, that's a food
and
addiction.
And that's a food addiction. It has nothing to do with your body
needing. Oh, I don't feel good unless I have, you know, a hamburger every other day. I need that protein. Well, you could say the same thing about saturated fat. So that's what you get with animal food.
Yeah, you get that high saturated fat, and that makes you feel good. Right. Turns on your endorphins. And
it's just crazy that I always just go back to the simplistic view of when you look at places in the world where people live the longest, what do they eat? They don't worry about nightshades. They don't worry about...
Gundry's big on the nightshades,
too. Of course he is.
Yeah, they got a supplement. So not only a lectin shield, but something for the nightshades,
nightshade
too.
Shield?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't eat tomatoes.
To say.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't worry about nightshades. They don't worry about lectins. How much protein. They don't soak their nuts. They eat food that comes from the ground, and it's a real simple endeavor.
You know, and they may eat in these places a very small amount of
Absolutely.
Animal protein, but it is minuscule compared to what we think we
Exactly.
need here in the United States.
And it's a special occasion
or
thing.
Or other places too now, but in the blue zones is what...
Sure.
It's just
special
very...
Special occasions.
Very small amount of...
Or they may use a little bit to flavor.
Sure.
Like a soup. But it's not like we do here where, you know, you got 10 ham bones for a little...
One pot of beans.
Yeah.
Well, and although the Asian diet is changing with the insurgent of
McDonald's
and the standard American diet. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, when I was in China 13 years ago, you know, people there are healthy in spite of bad habits. A lot of people right. in China smoke.
Yep.
And they're healthy in spite of that. Not because of that, because of their diet. They eat soy every day. They eat white rice. They eat beans. And so it's not a product of, well, you can smoke and still be healthy. No, it's the diet that trumps a lot of those things.
Well, it's the same with the Mediterranean diet. That got touted as the healthy diet, and that's where we got eat all the olive oil you want to eat.
And in a place the size of Rhode Island.
And that was so, like, we love to pick up on little snippets of things like that, you know. It wasn't the fact that they were eating all these greens in their diet. Let's just forget the greens. Let's just focus on, we want right. to pick one thing out that we love. And we love our olive oil here.
Which most of the olive oil isn't even olive oil. It's sold in the United States. Plus the fact that
exactly
the
right.
green they ate in Greece, when they really looked at it, the country Greece, we call in the United States a weed. So these people are eating this green purslane that is known as goat weed here in the United States. But it has a very complex carbohydrate in it that sucks out cholesterol.
It's like a little bit like flax. It reminds me of, it's kind of gelatinous.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
We're growing I would almost call that spinach we're growing, and it's becoming,
oh, yes.
It's like a weed. It's becoming so infiltrated in our whole garden. It's called Malabar spinach, and it's everywhere. But the leaves are very
gelatinous,
thick. And if you cook them, they become very gelatinous, which is not real taste. I mean, I don't like the texture of, the taste isn't different, but the texture of that gelatinous, I don't like so much. So I prefer to use those in my smoothie or something.
But they're very health
promoting. But they are very health promoting.
And even when done raw and you're getting the Malabar spinach lectin,
mm-hmm.
They're still health promoting in spite of the lectin.
That's exactly right.
Maybe because of it.
Well, we hope we haven't been too much of Debbie Downers today.
What does Debbie have to do with
it? It's a real simple deal.
I just feel
deal.
Like there's some things that we need to address on here that really get promoted out there in the social media and in the news.
Well, anything that's controversial will be shown in the news because they like controversy.
Sure, and they like to keep us confused so that we keep coming back and trying to find more and more and more. And bottom line, what we promote is eating a whole food, plant-based diet. It's very simple. Keep it simple. Don't make it complicated. Eat your whole plant foods, beans, grains, onions, mushrooms, all fruits, all vegetables, seeds, nuts. Like I said, it's, we don't count calories, we don't count carbs, we don't count protein, we don't count.
The only thing I'm counting is how long it
is
to
Randy's
eat lunch.
Randy's looking at the clock saying, we get to go eat here in just
exactly
a minute.
Exactly right, because we talk about food for an hour and I'm hungry.
Yep. So we do like to eat. This is not about not eating or starving yourself or anything. We love to eat
and
good,
we don't eat stuff
tasty
that doesn't taste good.
Food. Exactly and right. So that's the other thing is, I mean, I think people have a connotation with eating this way that, oh, it's got to be
bland
or eating like cardboard. And I mean, that is not the case. Yes, it may take your taste buds a while to change. You may feel bad in the very beginning because you're actually withdrawing from the high sugar, fat, and salt you were eating. It'd be no different than when you decide to just give up soda altogether or sugar altogether and caffeine. I mean, your body goes through a withdrawal from those things, and so you may feel that the first couple weeks, but after that you're going to have the most energy you've ever felt. So that's what we like about promoting this lifestyle, is that people regain their health and feel good. So if you want to come to one of our seminars, go to plantbasedokc.com and check out the dates for where we'll be, and we'll have information about Veg Fest on there. We have information about our Rococo meeting, about our seminars. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
August 6th, right?
August 6th at Rococo is our next event.
We'd love to see y'all there.
And
if you haven't seen Andrea, you need to come see how beautiful she looks.
Thank you, Randy.
You're welcome. If I had a sister, she'd be just like you.
Huh?
If I had a sister, she'd be just like you.
Aw.
See?
Randy's just full of joy today.
You know, wanting something.
Yeah, lunch.
You know what?
Well, he gets lunch.
I just read the book Love Does by Bob Goff, and he says you need to be more like love. That's it.
Well, very simple. Spreading it. You're spreading it.
That's exactly kind of
like
right.
The Beatles. All we need is love.
That's exactly
and
right.
And that's what we want to do. We want to exactly spread love and kindness and
and you
got to
live a long, healthy life.
Yeah. So,
love yourself and start eating plants.
That's right.
So until next time, live life on purpose and with purpose.
Amen.